Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
like to welcome you to another edition of Kings and Priests. And what we're going to be talking about today is true repentance or Easter repentance. A lot of people are going to make their annual visit to the church, their annual prayer to God, their annual dress up and feast and festival on this day. But are they going to repent of their sins, which was a reason why Christ came and laid down his life, and so that we could have repentance, you know? And he's coming back. When he comes back, he's going to judge the world. When he was here the first time, he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. And many people don't understand that concept within itself. Why would he come teach a doctrine of repentance and then give people free rein to commit sin and commit all manner of abominable acts? That doesn't make any sense. So let's begin by going to Matthew's, the fourth chapter. And we're going to start from the 17th verse. And it reads, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So this was the first thing that Jesus began to preach and to say was repent, repentance. And you look in the Bible, repentance is not a new concept. Christ was not teaching a new concept. He perfected that concept of repentance and showing people and teaching people the simplicity of it, that it was not a complicated process. It was not a process that you needed a goat or a lamb or, you know, a turtle dove. You know, he was going to be that sacrifice, and you had to go through the process of repentance. Now, in that same chapter, if we go to Matthew's, we go to the book of Matthew's, and we start at the first chapter. And if we begin at the 21st verse, and let's see, and it says, this is Matthew's chapter 1, verse 21, and it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So the very name of Jesus means, in Hebrew, he saves or savior. So what was Jesus coming to save us from? If you go to the next chapter, Matthew's 2, and let's see. Matter of fact, let's go to the book of Acts. Because a lot of people think that, you know, the Bible's guesswork and Spirit told me this. And Spirit told my pastor this, blah, 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 blah. But the Bible tells us exactly what Christ's mission was. And it wasn't for Easter Bunny. It wasn't for, you know, Peter Cottontail or sunrise service, none of that. Christ came to teach us repentance, show us that true repentance. People, you know, they have a false sense of repentance to ease their evil conscience, which is they go to church this one time of year on Easter, which is not even correct, because Jesus Christ did not ordain an Easter or Estra or Ashtaroth or Astarte, because that's all the names that Easter go back to, is these spring goddesses. So the spring goddess ain't got nothing to do with Jesus Christ. So this is Acts, the 5th chapter, the 29th verse. Hold on a second. Okay, Acts 5:29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." And this is an issue. A lot of people are following their pastor. They're following their evangelist. They're following their apostle. They're following the bishop. They're following their reverend, They're following all these different things, but they're not following the Heavenly Father. They're not following Jesus Christ. So Acts 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So God gives us the orders, the commandments. He gives us how holy days we're supposed to keep, and Easter is not one. And what we're supposed to do to repent and come back to him through Jesus Christ. And it wasn't going to Easter or sunrise service or having that one dinner with your family. That doesn't matter to the Heavenly Father. He sent his son Jesus Christ so we could have repentance. And that's what Christ taught. So let's see. What did Christ come for? It said, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So Christ came to give us forgiveness of sins. He came to give us repentance that we could be forgiven of our sins. Most people, they don't even know what sin is. You ask them what sin is, it's, you're not doing what God says. And you got to love God. And they'll come up with all these off-the-wall answers, and the answer is contained within the scriptures. So let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse, and make it really simple. You know, what we're doing today, the name of our show is True Repentance or Easter Repentance. This is what we're talking about. And I think before we read that 1 John 3 and 4, we got the brother Abadja on the line. Brother Abadja, good morning. How you doing? Hold on a second, baby. You can't hear me? Abadja, you're on the line. Okay, maybe you can't hear. Hold on a second. Let's do this. Give us a second while we sort out these technical difficulties.
Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at theBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/theBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
Abadja, you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. How you doing this
morning? I had to hang up. Doing pretty good. I had to hang up and call back.
Technical difficulties.
Good. That's all right. That's how we roll. Roll the punches.
How we roll. So what we're getting into is 1 John 3 and 4. So if you can get that for us, then we can keep this ball rolling. What we're talking about this morning is true repentance or Easter repentance. We got holidays coming up, and a lot of people are going to, you know, gearing up for that holiday. And, you know, we've done numerous shows on bringing out Easter, bringing out the Sabbath and how these things are man-made, bringing out Sunday as a Sabbath. not the true Sabbath, is today, is now. A lot of people see the Sabbath as Sunday, not knowing that that was man-made, that was made by man, so people could worship the sun. Many people don't know that. They're in complete ignorance and complete oblivion to that fact. You know, it's historical. A man, the Emperor Constantine, 325 A.D., set up Sunday as the day of worship, Dies Solis, the day of the sun, because he was a sun worshiper. So he had power to change times and laws. Doesn't it tell about Daniel how men would change times and laws? Yes, they changed the date, they changed the year, and the daylight saving, all these things. The sun rises and the sun sets, and there's seasons, there's summer, there's fall, there's winter, there's spring. You know, that's unchanging. Here the bag, we're going to put an hour on this. About, you don't understand. You can't see how things have changed? No, people are completely oblivious to the facts, and the scriptures is the foundation that shows us about the seasons, because the Most High created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Before there was a sun and moon and stars, there was light. You know, that's why the sun goes down, there's still light. People don't understand that. But anyway, maybe that might be a stake for some. So let's stick to the milk. 1 John 3, verse 4.
All right, 1 John 3 and 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
So, what is sin, Abadja?
It says it right here. Sin is, meaning sin is defined as, the transgression of the law.
So, what is a transgression? If you transgress, what have you done?
That means you have gone against something that has been established, or you have broken, you've done the opposite of what you were supposed to do. It's like if you're speeding, you have transgressed this law for speeding. You're going faster than the posted speed limit. And it's really that simple.
So we read already that Christ came to give us repentance and forgiveness of sins. So people going to church Easter Sunday, for a lot of them, it's not going to be about repentance. It's going to be about, okay, this is a one time, I'm going to dress up, I'm going to go to church with my family, and there is no repentance. Because first of all, if there was true repentance, you would not be going to church on a Sunday, on a sunrise service, which is all going into paganism and wickedness. But anyway, let's go to the book of Proverbs 28:13, because what I want us to show is that there's repentance, and it's not geared towards one day of the year. Repentance is any time. And that true repentance, it looks like something. You going to church once on Easter Sunday in your Sunday best is not going to give you deliverance and salvation when Jesus Christ comes and his power and his glory. You're going to be judged. And as your grandmother would say, when you was doing something wrong and you was in your wickedness, you're going to bust hell wide open. You heard that term before about you?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to bust hell wide open. You doing some wickedness. You going into some whoremongering. You being the whore on the street. Baby, you're going to bust hell wide open. And that's going to be that second death that it speaks about in Revelations, the lake of fire. Because when you die, you're at rest, you're at peace. There's no hell under the ground when you die. Christ is going to come back and put people in the lake of fire. Christ is going to save you when you repent. That's when you're going to be saved. You're not going to be saved in your mind. Christ is going to bring a deliverance and a salvation for those that repent. So Proverbs 28:13. Let's get that and let's read it so we can show what the Bible is saying about repentance. Because many people, I was watching a thing just a few minutes ago, and the guy's talking about sin and Christ done away with sin and this and this and that. And Christ gave us forgiveness of sins, do away with sin. It's like you can't sin no more. So if you go and commit adultery with a woman, will Christ got you covered? No, he doesn't have you covered. He has you covered when you repent of that. It's not like a American Express card. I'm gonna express this sin on Jesus Christ. You know, put it on my credit card, my Jesus card. He's gonna take care of it. No, you're gonna be judged for that if you don't repent. So, Proverbs 28:13.
All right, Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
So it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. What does that mean, Abadja?
Basically, if I'm covering my sins, that means that I'm making an excuse for it rather than admitting that I'm doing wrong. So here's the perfect example. You know, a lot of dudes will basically make a covering for their sin of the adultery by saying, oh, well, her man is not treating her right. Oh, well, he doesn't talk to her, so somebody has to do it. Oh, well, you know what? You know, she needed somebody to talk to, and, you know, I'm the man that, you know, I'm the man with the plan to take care of, take care of the job. And just all the little sayings that men will come up with to go and deal with another man's woman, another man's wife.
Mm.
That's covering your sin.
She was lonely.
That's just one example.
She talked
about
it first.
Yeah, she was lonely. Yeah.
They were having problems.
I was minding my business. They was having problems. You know, I helped them stay together. No, you're an adulterer. According to the word of God, you and she are adulterers and adulteress.
You ever heard that song? You ever heard that song? Locked up, they won't let me out. You ever heard that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever see the lyrics? The guy, and he's going to explain why he's locked up, because he's stealing, cheating, lying. It's like, you deserve to be locked up. Locked up, they won't let me out. Why are you locked up? Because you broke the law. So a lot of people are like, man, they got me to bed, the white man, this, blah, blah. No, he that covers sin shall not prosper. So why are you in jail? Because you did something worthy of me. That's why you're not progressing. And especially our people, man. You know, like, wonder why we're not progressing, why we not getting ahead. Because our people are whores. Our people are whoremongers. Our people are thieves. Our people are drug dealers. Like, well, the white man putting the drugs in our community, and that, you know, how the drugs get there, how the guns get there. We ain't got no ships in this world. Who picks them up and use them? It's you. So he that covers sin shall not prosper. And our people especially is good at making excuses for their shortcomings, making excuses for wickedness, making excuses for sin, making excuses why you're a whore, making excuses why you're an adulterer, making excuses why you got 30 different baby fathers. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. But you cannot make an excuse for sin and expect God to be on your side. He that covers sin shall not prosper. You're not going to grow. You're not going to grow financially. You're not going to grow in your relationship. You're not going to grow in any form or fashion. You're not going to get ahead. But whoso confesseth, what does that mean, confesseth?
First of all, to confess, that means you have to admit and know and acknowledge the fact that you are breaking the commandments of God. That's like,
okay.
You know what confess means? That's the equivalent of an alcoholic acknowledging the fact that they're an alcoholic, or a druggie, a pothead, or someone that's addicted to drugs acknowledging the fact that I have a problem. That's the first step. Because if you don't know you have a problem, then it's just like the Lord said, they that are whole need not a physician.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step. I have to acknowledge that, first of all, I'm breaking the commandments of the Heavenly Father.
So you saying Sir Mix-a-Lot confesses sins? I like big butts,
funny.
I cannot lie.
As long as it's his wife's butt, it don't matter.
There you go. But, I mean, for a lot of people, that's going to be a difficult thing for them to do. For women, It's like, okay, you dealing with more than one man. What's that according to the scriptures, Abaja?
That means according to the word of God, that means she's a whore. That don't mean that she's a strong woman. Okay, I can do what a man can do because they've been doing it for years, and now we get to do it, and the tables are turned. We're on a level playing field. No, what the men were doing, according to the Bible, they were being whoremongers and fornicators, and that is a sin. And for a woman to do the same, that's basically what the scriptures call being a whore. That's not being strong. That's not being independent. That's what this world calls it. Okay? That's what the world defines as, you know, someone who can, you know, forge their own destiny and go out and, you know, make a way for themselves and do as they please. That's the doctrine of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Quiet as it's kept. That's the doctrine. That's one of the first tenets of the doctrine of Satanism that has infiltrated the church and that this whole world lives by. That's the mantra that this world lives by. But no, that you don't see that in the scriptures. That's being a whore.
So how dare you call out women like that?
I didn't call our women a whore. I didn't call any woman a whore.
How dare you call out women like that and say they're whores? How could you do that, Abaja? That's just wrong, isn't it?
No. First of all, it's not me calling anyone a whore. It's reading out of the scriptures. The same way that if I go out here and start dealing with a bunch of women, according to the word of God, I would become a whoremonger. That's what that is.
Let me say this. A lot of women out there have done exactly what we said they've done. They've dealt with more than one man that's not their husband. And according to the scriptures, that is a whore. That is a whore. I want you to get that in the Apocrypha. How the woman, she brought in an heir by another man that's not her husband. So you see these women like Omori Povich. Who are they? They're whores. They're bringing in children. It's not from their husband. According to the scriptures, that's a whore. And that's going to be something that people have to look. This is one example. And I want the example to go out there because the majority of the people that's going to be in the church on Easter Sunday when they're supposed to be repentant is going to be who?
It's going to be the same people that was out doing whatever the night before, what they've been doing the majority of their lives, and they're just there for show.
It's going to be women. Women are the ones that the majority of the people in the church. And you look at the community, why is the community effed up? It's because a bunch of wicked women are ruling the community and not how the order that the Most High set it up is supposed to be a righteous man in line with the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and the woman, a righteous woman, in line with her husband. That's what it is. A lot of people can't say that because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're scared of women. Like, oh, she ain't going to give me none, blah, blah, blah. No. Men have to wake up and stop being weak to their women, like Adam was in the garden. Here the man in paradise got everything, the women got everything, and she still ain't happy. So that's an example for, you know, brothers out there, you trying to please your women. It ain't going to happen because the woman was in paradise, had everything. Man had a job, was basically the son of God, and she still wasn't happy. She wanted more. So if you try to please a woman, then, hey, you ain't going to make it, kid. You better please the Lord. Anyway, get that. You got that in the Apocrypha?
Man, I'm still trying to find that thing. Give me a second.
Oh, Lord.
Here we go. All right. This is Ecclesiasticus, the 23rd chapter. Okay. And, this is funny. Because it basically goes into the whole thing about, it's funny because it really starts off dealing with a man that didn't fear the Heavenly Father, and he was the one breaking wedlock, but it also was dealing with the woman as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start basically to go straight to the point, since he was dealing with a woman that was basically dealing in adultery. This is Ecclesiasticus 23 and verse 22. It says, thus shall it go also with the wife that leaveth her husband and bringeth in an heir by another. It says, for first, she hath disobeyed the law of the Most High. And secondly, she hath trespassed against her own husband. And thirdly, she hath played the whore in adultery and brought children by another man. So, I mean, it's basically telling you, I mean, it's just like, listen, first of all, when you go outside of the confines of marriage, it says, first of all, you disobeying the law of the Most High. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay.
So if you disobey the law of the Most High, what have you done?
That is a sin, according to 1 John 3 and 4.
There you go. Keep going.
Then it says, secondly, she hath trespassed against her own husband. So now, for all of our New Testament buffs, it's like now we breaking the golden rule, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay? So, and the funny thing, Godwin, is people always think that our Lord Jesus Christ came in and just made up something new. What do you think he was teaching from?
He was teaching from the Old Testament because there was no New Testament.
Exactly. He was teaching from the Old Testament. He used to always say, even when he was tempted by Satan, have you not read? He wasn't talking about the book of Matthew. He wasn't talking about the letters of Paul. Have you not read? Thus saith the Lord. Where did he say it? Deuteronomy, Exodus, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Genesis. He was teaching out of the book of Genesis when he was dealing with marriage. Talking about this is how it was supposed to be from the beginning. So people get it twisted, man. So not to digress, it says, so she has trespassed against her own husband. And then it says, thirdly, she hath played the whore in adultery and brought children by another man. Now, see, that's the one that really sticks, because it's like, according to the scriptures, that is what a whore does. They go from a man to another man to another man to another man to another man. Like mm-hmm. the old Robin Harris joke, the man sit next to the man, sit next to the man, sit next to the man, sit next to the man. That's what they're doing.
Mm-mm.
It's the same way that a man that does that, he's just as guilty, if not more. So the Most High, there's equity. Yeah, there's equity. Okay. There's equity in the scriptures. It doesn't allow for the man just to go around and sleep around with impunity, and for a woman to not do the same thing. No, it goes for both.
So, bro, you don't even need to say that, because a woman can't be a whore without a man.
Well, there you go.
The man got to be in. The man have to be in play. But anyway, this is the reason why I hit that, because of the majority of people that's in church is who? Women.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of people that's in church is women, and they're in there, and they're a whore on Saturday, and then they pretend to be a virtuous woman on Sunday. So this is one of the things that, you know, people have to repent of, you know, starting with women, because women is the object that most men want to get. They want to get to the woman. And then you're not supposed to be trying to get to the woman. You're supposed to be trying to serve God. But anyway, I want to go into the New Testament. Let's go to the book of John, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse.
John 4:16. All right. This is St. John chapter.
Start from 10. I want you to start from
there. Right.
Because this is a discussion that Jesus Christ is having with a woman. And I want you to see what he says to her. You know, what we're talking about today on Kings and Priests, we're talking about true repentance or Easter repentance. And the majority of the women that's going to be up in the church is going to be women. So what does that mean? We got to talk about women and how women need to repent. And one of the things we pointed out is, like, women are whores. You know, they're not showing forth the virtue of a Sarah. They're not showing forth the virtue of a roof or the righteous sisters that was in the scriptures. So we have to put that out there. We have to be. That's what the prophets of old did. They didn't come back and just say, repent, repent, repent. They had to go into the scriptures and show Israel where they were breaking the commandments of God and how they can come back to the Heavenly Father. That was the job of Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing. So read John, the 4th chapter, and the 10th verse.
All right. St. John 4 and starting at verse 10. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Now you look at that. Many people are going to church, but they're not looking for the gifts that Christ has to give. They go in there, they give their tithes, and it's like a payoff. You know, the pastors are buying in for money, you know. But if they knew the truth, the real reason that Christ came is to heal their hurt, their pains, the things that they're going through in their life, then they will be seeking for repentance. So read on.
All right. Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?
Go ahead.
Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
So what Christ was talking about, he was talking about himself, that you accept him, it's going to be like that living water. And you're going to have life and life more abundantly. And so you look, and most people, they're going to church, or they're going to make that Easter repentance annual visit to the church, and how their life is going to be better. How's their life going to be better for that? Because it isn't, because they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they haven't repented as he began to preach and to say. That was his mission, why he came, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. So read on.
All right. So it says, verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
So she's Jesus like, give me this her. Water. So she's like, give me this water, so I don't have to thirst anymore and come here to draw. So she didn't understand it wasn't a physical thing, it was a spiritual thing that he was talking about. So let's see what Christ is going to now discuss with her.
Mm-hmm. All right, so 16. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither.
So he
the
said,
woman
okay,
answered,
Go call thy husband and come hither. Okay? Go call your head. And then we're going to get this water. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Is go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. But thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly.
So what was she, Abadra?
She was a whore.
She was a whore. She was a whore. So what was Christ teaching her?
Basically, he pointed out her sin. And she's starting to catch. She's the next verse. You're going to see that she's just starting to catch on. It's like, how you know that? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me?
Read the next verse.
Oh, man. So here we are. We're St. John chapter 4 and verse I will start back at 17. It says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. But thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou sayest truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. So you want me to read on?
Read on.
All right, 22. It says, Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
So, and that's the case with a lot of people. They know not what they worship. You worship, you know not what. So they going to church on Sunday, you worship what you know not what. You got a sunrise service, you worship what you know not what.
But yeah, I mean, he basically called it out. He was like, listen. And see, that's the funny thing, because, you know, that's what the Lord is coming to do. It's like, he didn't come to pat us on the back. He didn't come to say, you know, hey, you know, you've been doing a good job. I know you, I understand. No, he's like, listen, this is what you're doing wrong. And this is what we need to do to repent. Not Jesus himself, but the people that he came to save. The ones of us that are going to hear his voice, the sheep that are going to hear his voice and repent. He's going to say, we need to repent, but we have to acknowledge what it is. We have to know what it is that we're doing wrong to repent of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor and he just give you a pill. You go in there, you got a broke arm, and he give you something he give you antibiotics for a stomach ache, and you sitting there with a broke arm and a bone poking through the skin and everything. Oh, here, have these antibiotics. They don't do that. At least there's some of them. The way medical care is going in this country. but I mean, because just as that would seem ridiculous, that's people's approach to when it comes to this Bible. Okay, it's like, hey, you know, whatever. I'm just gonna pay my tithes and I'm going on about my business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the preacher's gonna say, yeah, amen. The God is with you, sister. God is with you, brother. Mm-hmm. Ain't the God of this Bible.
No. Let's read verse 23.
All right, verse 23. So it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Verse 24.
He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How about that?
So that's what he's letting know, that this was a spiritual thing. And it said, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. So for there to be true worshipers, what does it have to be, Abaja?
To be a true worshiper, there has to be what we read in Proverbs.
If there is true worshipers, what also...
Oh, then that means there are false worshipers.
Right. So there's people that's worshiping the Father in falsehood. They're not true. What they're doing is not according to the scriptures. And that's where we get this Easter repentance. That's why I named the show True Repentance and Easter Repentance, because there's false worshipers. So if you go into church on Easter Sunday, sunrise service, doing the Easter egg hunt, guess what? You're a false worshiper. You're not worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. So that's what he was teaching this woman. He's like, you have to repent. You have to change. You done have five husbands. The man that you're with now, that ain't your man. You have truly said. So you couldn't say, oh, this guy's my husband. So what was she? She was a whore. So that's why it's saying, like, look, you worship what you know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know who you're serving. And that's the case for a lot of people. They're going to go to church on Easter Sunday and think that they are worshiping God. They think that they are worshiping Jesus Christ, but they are not. But they are not.
I did it. When I was growing up, that's what I was taught. So I don't want our listening audience to feel like we're alienating ourselves, like we were born this way and following the word. No, I came up in an Episcopal church, and basically that's a half a step and a half off of being Catholic. Okay. Just the kind of not the African Methodist Episcopal, straight up Episcopal. Okay. So I did the sunrise service. I did the mass sometimes. Okay. We did the a lot of the tenets that you see the Catholics do outside of, say, worshiping, praying to the saints and the rosary beads and confessions and all of that stuff. But yeah, I kind of Easter Sunday and all that stuff that comes with it, and all of the pagan holidays that are associated with your so-called modern day denominations in Christianity. So I ain't sitting here like I'm just golden, ain't never touched nothing. Oh, he ain't dead. Y'all just talking about stuff like y'all just old high and mighty. We had to acknowledge the things that we were doing wrong, and we had to stop doing those things. That's what that when we read in Proverbs, confesseth and forsaketh, meaning that you leave those things alone. You abandon those things. When we find that those things are a transgression of the scriptures and has nothing at all to do with Jesus Christ, then we abandon those things. And we start getting into the scriptures, and that's what we adhere to. Because, Godwin, I want to go someplace real quick. I don't mean to take you off track. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, and I want to read chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And I'm going to read this. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Because that's the thing. Is we show up, we show up to church on Easter Sunday, Mother's Day, and Christmas. Okay. We'll show up those three times because it's expected of us to do. It's the so-called honorable thing to do. Hey, you know, you need to go to church. Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll get my mama Easter lily and or whatever, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I'll get a poinsettia for Christmas and put it in the church. I'll put a little bit of extra money in the pot today, you know, this Sunday. And it makes us feel good. But we live in the rest of our lives as some of the things that Paul said is going to keep us out of the kingdom of God. So that's why he's saying, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He's like, listen, don't you know that the things that you're doing are going to cause you to not inherit the kingdom of God? The life that you're living, if it's not according to the scriptures and the example of Jesus Christ, that's going to cause you to not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know that? So let's read on. He says, "Be not deceived." Because that's the thing. A lot of people are deceived into thinking that the lives that they're living is going to, hey, you know what? God knows my heart. Hey, you know what? You know, the Lord knows what I'm doing. Yeah, he does. He's watching you do it. Okay? But the doctrines that have been taught in this world have people deceived, and people even deceiving among their own selves, knowing that they're doing wrong. Oh, you know, Lord, look out. Lord, just spot me on this one. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is part of the deception. See, it don't say nothing about smoking weed, so I guess I'm good. No. No, it does. It don't work like that. This is not an exhaustive list. Basically, anything that's going into the breaking of the commandments of the Heavenly Father, that's going to cause us to not inherit the kingdom of God. But this is why I came here. The punchline I wanted is in verse 11. It says, "And such were some of you." Because you made a statement earlier that it's a lot of, you know, it's going to be a lot. It's a lot of sick people in church. Because some people know that there's something wrong, and they're coming to these places to be healed. But sadly, the person that's there, that's supposed to teach them and help them get better through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, they're feeding them poison. Now, the other people, they just there being deceived. They just say, hey, you know what? I'm just here, like I go to work and punch a clock just to show my face, sing a few songs, make myself feel good. And I'm going to go on and do what I normally do throughout the rest of the week. Those are the ones that are deceived, that are committing those sins and fall up under that umbrella. But he says, but the point is, he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The people that fall in that category, those are the ones that have confessed and forsaken their sin. That's how we get clean in the sight of the Lord. We have to know that we're doing wrong, and then we have to forsake or abandon those things. That's what repentance is. That's what the Lord came and gave his life for. Not for us to continually backslide. Not for us to go through the whole wash, rinse, and repeat cycle. Go out, okay, gave my money to pay my tithes or whatever, sang a few songs. Oh, sister, you sang good. Yeah, I sure did. I come on in here in my back office. Oh, preacher. And now he's knocking off two people in the choir and the choir director.
Oh, Lord.
But they do this. Yeah, but they miss every week. It's the same thing. And that's not what the Lord called us to. So back to you, bro.
Yeah, this is a good time for us to go to break. Abaji, can you make sure that the chat room is open? You got that list I sent you?
Yeah, I'd have to pull that stuff up for you.
Okay. So hold on a second. So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk some more about true repentance or Easter repentance. So stay tuned. This is Kings and Priests. We'll be right back.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it is time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Kings and Priests, true repentance or Easter repentance. Maybe God's trying to tell you something today that you need to make a change in your life. You need to repent. And that's the reason why Jesus Christ came. He came to give us repentance and repentance of sins. So one of the things we was talking about, we was dealing with women. And oftentimes women are overlooked. Everything is the man's fault. It's the man. It's the man. It's the man. It's the man. The man left me with the baby. The man cheated on me. The man did this. The man did that. I want you to get the scripture in the Apocrypha. Get the scripture in the Apocrypha. Wicked woman is given abortion. So people I understand is like, you know, where's God? God's left me, and I need help, and this and that. It's like God is there. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's telling you things, and he's bringing judgment in your life, and people still refuse to repent. They still keep, you know, I see women are like, I'm looking for a good man. But you're in the club, and after you women, I'm looking for a good man. But then the woman's in the strip club. She's looking for a good man. Is she looking for a good man? Where you going to find a good man in the strip club? Man coming there to look at women strip. You looking for a good man? For real? I'm going to tell you this, Abaja. I was talking to this to this young girl, and actually she calls me her godfather. And I said, you know, we was getting ready to make the trip over here to the U.S. I was like, you know, I'm going to bring you to the U.S. with me. And she was like, yeah, it's like, I like to go. She's like, I need to find a good man. I was like, yeah, there's some good brothers in my church and this, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, that's what I need. I need a man that's going to love God first and love me second. I was like, damn. I like, that's what it's supposed to be. But so many men and so many women, or, you know, women, they want to be the pinnacle of everything in the man, and the man has set up the woman on a pedestal, and that's how Adam fell in the beginning, not being obedient to the Heavenly Father. So you got that for me?
Yep.
All right, read that. And that's tell them where you are.
I'm in Ecclesiasticus 26 and verse 23. But I was going to say, it's funny, that the song that you opened up from the break with, I used to have to go to my grandmother's church to hear that. You go to grandmama's church to hear that one. All right, well, we're at Ecclesiastes 26 and 23. It says, a wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man.
So a wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man. If you're a woman and you got a wicked man in your life that beats you, you got a wicked man in your life, he cheats on you, you got a wicked man in your life who's left you with the child, don't want to pay the child support, what do you have to do? You have to repent. You got to look at yourself and like, how I got with this man? How God allowed this damn devil in my life? And most women, they won't do that. They just blame it. It's the man's fault. It's God's fault. It's this, that, or otherwise, you know? But the key is repentance. Repentance is the key. Comes on Friday night at 7 p.m. Check it out. Blog Talk Radio, part of the Body of Christ Radio Network. And people just don't get it. But they're gonna be deep on Easter Sunday, rolling deep for Jesus. And your whole life is destroyed. Your whole life is messed up. Your whole life is a disaster. But then you there in church are like, well, God can't help you? Of course he can. Of course you can, but you're not going according to the formula. The formula that the Heavenly Father, the formula that the Heavenly Father gave us was Jesus Christ to give us repentance. And that, what does that mean for us, is that we have to change from what we're doing, and we got to make a 180 from going to hell and start making our way towards the Heavenly Father in Christ. So read on. What's the next part say?
Read it always. But a God, it says, a wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man, but a godly woman is given to him that feareth. Yeah, this godly woman is given to him that feareth the Lord.
So the godly woman is going to be given to a man that feareth God. So women that's wicked as hell, you're not going to find a godly man that's going to do you right. You're not going to find a godly man that's going to you know, nurture you and cherish you. And he's going to give his life for you, even as Christ gave his life for the church. So let's touch on that. Let's get on Ephesians. Ephesians, we're talking about repentance. We're showing the true repentance in Christ. And one of the topics I really wanted to bring out is dealing with women on Easter, because they're going to be the majority of people that's in there, and really think, some of them really think that they're serving the Lord, that they're serving Christ, and what they're doing is right. You know, and Abaj, I think you brought it out to show that it's not, we're not picking on people, but this is what the prophets do. We got to show you what's wrong before you can do right.
Mm-hmm. So what you want in Ephesians?
Say again?
I said, what you want in, out of Ephesians?
Ephesians 5.
Okay. And where you
Ephesians
want to start
5:22. Start 22.
Okay. Oh Lord, you about to? I want to read this. Ephesians 5:22. And people are like,
what are you telling me? You don't want to read?
No, you about to find out. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
So wives are supposed to submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. And this man was going to be a righteous man, because it says submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. I remember showing this to a woman. She was having issues and problems with her husband. So she's coming to me, asking me questions and different things. So the first thing I said to her, I was like, okay, wait, hold a minute. Wait a minute. Have you spoken to your husband about this? And what do you think the answer was about you?
Well, no, because, and then.
No, it's just, after the no, it's like, stop, okay? You need to speak to your husband, not me, okay? You speak to your husband first, and that's a lot of problems in this world. There's no order, okay? There's not a righteous order. And people, you know, I was showing her this, like this, submit yourself unto your own husband. I am not your husband. You know, you don't come to me, he's going to be the shoulders to cry on. No, you're going to have to work this out with your husband. You're not crying on my shoulder. Is he beating you? Okay, it's an issue. You got an issue. Matthew 18:15 says, you know, if your neighbor trespasses against you, then you go between him and thee alone and try to work that thing out. So if you're not doing that first, it's not you're not in an imminent danger of your life. You need to speak to your husband, not come complaining about your husband to me, okay? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So the other part of that story is, I showed her that. Read the next part.
And it says,
verse 23.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
So I said that, and she said that is misogynist.
Misogynist,
hatred towards women. So I was like, okay. I was like, you know, this is the Bible, right? And she's a Christian woman. It's like, oh, this is the Bible. And that's why he said, oh, Lord, you're going to bring this out. And she's like, that's hatred towards women. So I was like, okay. I was like, hold on. I was like, this is talking about a righteous man. Oh, I don't see that. So this woman is combative. She got issues with her husband. She's not looking to submit unto her husband. She's just raising up this conflict. The man is doing this, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. Read verse 24.
It says, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. You're digging deeper.
So it's still this misogyny and hatred towards women, and this is not right, blah, blah, blah. So read verse 25. So I said, okay. I was like, look, just relax. Let's keep reading. Verse 25.
And see, and that's what people stop reading, and they close the book, and they go on a daggone rant about how wrong the word of the Most High is. But let's see what happens if we read down one more verse. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
So the degree of love that a man is supposed to have for his wife is reference to how Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So as I'm speaking and I'm going through the scriptures, and I'm beginning to look and see the look in her face. So read on. The change
verse 26.
Of the look on her face. So keep reading.
I'm going to read 25 and 26 together. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I got to read 27. It says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So when Christ saw the church, did they have problems?
Oh, yeah.
Did they have sins?
Oh, we got plenty of problems. We have multitudes.
Did they have
sins?
Did they have baggage?
We
so
what
Christ didn't just throw away people like, okay, you know what? You done slept with 50 different men. Oh no, you're not worthy to sit at this table. What did he do?
Yeah,
he washed us, he cleansed us, he sanctified us, he was patient with us, you know. He helped us. He was that shoulder to cry on. So a lot of men oh man, she got too much baggage, get out of here. A real man of the Lord is not going to do that. He's going to deal with that woman in the spirit of Christ and help her to clear up her issues through the spirit of Christ. So read on.
All right. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So there's that term selfish. Oh, you're selfish. You're selfish. You just do for yourself. But a man that loves his wife, he's not just going to do for himself. He's going to do for his wife. And him doing for his wife, him teaching his wife, him being patient with his wife, him having that long suffering and teaching her the words and the examples of Jesus Christ, that's not being selfish. That's showing forth that true love. And that's what we're talking about and trying to get people to understand the true repentance in Christ. It's not on an Easter Sunday. Go ahead, bro. You was going to say something.
He's going to love his wife as he loves himself. So the whole thing is that goes into the whole thing about, okay, so yeah, you got the order that the man is the head of the wife and all of that, but the scriptures also come back and say that the husband and the wife are joint heirs together in the kingdom. So the so-called equality that people look for, the scriptures ain't about equality, it's about equity. Okay, there is an order that's set up in the scriptures as far as the husband and the wife, but there is equity in the scriptures as far as them both being joint heirs together in the kingdom. And just because there's an order set up according to the word of God, that does not mean that a man's wife is a second-class citizen. And you see that by the way that the way that that marriage, that relationship is described here, treating her any old way. I'm going to read it again. It says, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Because didn't the Lord say that when you become married to a woman that you become one flesh?
He certainly did.
So that's the thing. Because sadly, a lot of women are dealing with men that don't understand the word of God. And they want to beat their chest like they're a dang silverback, talking about, I'm the man of the house and I wear the pants. Well, can you do what Christ did? Since you're the man of the house, can you fulfill that role? And therein lies the problem. And that is the primary reason why when women read the previous verses, like the woman that you were dealing with, that's the initial knee-jerk reaction. Oh, hell to the no. You got me effed up. And just, I mean, that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go back to the point. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I'm going to read verse 29. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it.
Read the next verse. read the next verse.
Yeah, this is the next verse right here in 29.
Okay.
It says,
go ahead.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church.
Okay. So nourish.
Go ahead.
Let's start with nourish. Nourish means to sustain the food or nutriment, supply with what is necessary for life, health, and growth, to cherish, foster, keep alive, to strengthen, to build up, to promote. So that's what Christ did. Christ physically fed the church. He fed them with physical food, and more prominently and more importantly, he gave them that spiritual meat. He was that spiritual bread that came from heaven. So you're supposed to, you know, teach your wife, like, oh, she's just a dummy. She's dumb. She don't know nothing. You know, I need to get me a woman that, you know, got a wit. No, you're supposed to teach her. You're supposed to nourish her. You're supposed to care for her. You're supposed to show her some things in righteousness. So the next one was what?
Cherish.
Cherish. Cherish. A lot of people have no idea what that means, because what do they treat their wife as? Somewhere, a place to put it. You know, that was a term, you know, way back when some brother told me. It's like, yeah, man, and, yeah, this woman here is just a place to put it. Like really? For real? The scripture says to nourish and to cherish. When you cherish something, it's something that you hold dear. It's something that you care for tenderly. It's something that you cling to fondly, okay? So a wife is not something to be used, abused, and thrown away. But that's how it's perceived in the world. That's why people have to repent. You know, people, oh, man, you know, I'm seeing something, and somebody's like, oh, they went to a wedding, and it's like, oh, I want to get married. It's like, well, not now. Like, marriage is honorable in all. But in this world, it's not honorable. It's like, I'm going to have a man, and he's going to be telling me what to do and cook him food and blah, blah, blah. That's how it looks like. So when I began to explain, and we're going through the scriptures now, what was the husband's role and how beautiful it was and how he was supposed to treat the wife, you know what she said about you?
What?
She said, that man I'll listen to. So there was no more, this is misogynist and this is that, blah, 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 blah. But everybody has their role to play. If you're not going to play your role, you can't expect a man that's going to come and be this great man that's going to nourish and cherish you if you're the devil. That's why I had to read the scriptures. A wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man. So if your man is wicked, what does that mean for the woman?
That means you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
If the man's woman is wicked, what does that mean for the man?
That means he chose her and he needs to check himself. It goes both ways. This is not a one-way street.
That's it.
This is not a one-way street. That's the equity in the Lord.
So it comes back to one thing, and it's repentance. Our people have to repent. Men, women, but the majority of the people that's in the church is women. And you don't have the pastor really going in hard and going to the scriptures teaching about what women are doing and what they're not doing. You know, I remember, you know, in England, once upon a time, we had a whole bunch of sisters just in the church. Like, we was overrun. We was like a church. Had a whole bunch of sisters in the church. So what do you think I taught on about you? What issue you think I was teaching on?
I'm kind of...
Issues about men?
No, this is about women, because they're the ones that's sitting there in front of you.
Exactly. You know, then women's like, you always teach about women. I'm like, you the ones that's in here. You the ones that need to repent. Well, I'm going to teach about the man's a dog. He's a dog. That's right. No, I'm not going to teach what you want to hear. I'm going to teach what you need to hear. How are you going to know what to repent of if you don't know what sins you're breaking?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? For a lot of people, that's exactly you know, where they're at. They don't want to hear about themselves. They don't want to hear about what they done wrong. They don't want to be told, you can't tell me, you can't correct me, you can't show me, you're not God. That's what I heard someone told me. I was like, you know, they're asking me questions, right? Because they know I'm dealing with the scriptures. You know, I know that they know that I teach the scriptures. So they're asking me questions, right? So now when the fire of the scriptures, not me, I'm just showing them, look, this is what it is that you're doing. This is where you're at. This is what you're doing wrong. Thus saith the Lord. God is trying to tell you something. So the woman began to attack me. You ain't Jesus Christ. You ain't Jeremiah. She don't have the name prophets. You ain't this person. You ain't that.
No, I'm not.
I just felt like, damn. Okay.
No, I'm not.
Like that?
No, I'm not. I'm me. You're absolutely right. I am not.
You're correct. I'm not those people, but I was like, this is what the scriptures are saying. This is what Jeremiah is saying. This is what Jesus is saying. This is what Isaiah is saying. These are not my words. So she
well, how about you
told me? I'm like, I didn't tell you. Isaiah told you. I didn't tell you. Jeremiah told you. I didn't tell you. Jesus told you. Okay? Matter of fact, let's go to Isaiah.
You know what comes after that? What comes after that? Well, how about you tell me what you think?
Yep. You're right. Put down the Bible. That Bible be setting people on fire, for real.
Let's close the book. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be an independent thinker. You need to be a free thinker. What do you think? Close that book and tell me, what do you think?
Well, when people say close the Bible, now you know they're dealing with Beelzebub. Beelzebub is in the room. Hello, Beelzebub.
Yeah.
How you doing? I haven't seen you for a little bit. You back, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that comes out of the mouth of a lot of so-called professed Christians.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We saw it.
You're not prepared.
Eve thought something different other than what the Lord had established. And Adam thought the same thing. And look where it got them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think? Well, the Lord said this. Nah, that ain't what he meant. I'm like, okay, you keep playing with fire. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 9, it says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the sea.
Read it again.
That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
This is a rebellious people. This is our people. So-called black people, Latino people, we are rebellious people. We love to rebel. We love to rebel against the police. We love to rebel against the social order. We love to rebel against God. That's why many people, they're going to be on church on Easter Sunday, one of the most pagan days established by man, because it wasn't established by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Paul said, let us keep the feast, not with the unleavened bread of malice and wickedness, but in sincerity and truth. People, I'm keeping my Easter. This is a rebellious people. We rebelled against the Most High. We rebelled against his commandments. We rebelled against the words of Christ. Lying children. Read on. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. The law is done away with. So why little Nikki and little Ray Ray in jail? Why they in jail? Because they would not hear the Lord. Because the Lord tell you not to steal. The Lord tell you not to kill, not to murder. The Lord tell you not to bear false witness. Why they in jail? Because they will not hear the law of the Lord. So the true repentance needs to go out instead of the Easter repentance. The true repentance need to be taught. The true repentance need to be spoken on the highways and the byways and from the rooftops. Not the Easter egg hunt and the Easter bunny, pea and cottontail, and all this madness that they're teaching in the church and that they're going to teach in the church in the upcoming Sunday. So read on.
All right, verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit.
So what do they want to hear? What do they want to hear from the prophets? The right things?
No, we don't want to hear the right things. We want to hear the things that's going to make us feel good, that's smooth, and lie to us and tell us that everything is going to be all right. Because I can live my life the way that I want to, and as long as I confess in the blood of Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Listen, you're going to set hell on fire. We're going to bust hell wide open if we don't repent.
So a lot of people, they're unclear. They're unclear what the right thing is. So let's show them what the right thing is. Go to hold that, Abijah, in Isaiah 30. And let's get Psalms 33, verse 4.
Mm-hmm. That's when the show started. Oh, Lord, Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the organ starts going, and the drummer, and that dude, that man. Out to this day, that thing is funny to me. It's not the drummer sound like he just in there just slapping drums. And people falling out and foaming at the mouth and carrying on. It's like, are you serious? That's the Holy Ghost. Woo! Psalms 34.
Let's get it.
So we said Psalms 34
Psalms 33, verse 4.
Okay, Psalms 33 and 4. Okay, Psalms 33 and 4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
For the word, so what's right?
The word of the Lord is right.
So what's the thing that they don't want to hear?
We don't want to hear the word of the Lord. That ain't what my grandmama taught me.
You know what? Same thing. I was working on this job, and I was, you know, telling this guy, he's asking questions about the truth, asking questions about the Bible, and this is like, man, you know, I was ready to hear, and he's like, you know what? But the guy, you know, what the preacher and the pastor were saying, you know, he kept teaching about fornication. He kept teaching about fornication. He's like, you're not gonna be going through that. And I was like, yes, I am, because what was his problem?
He must have been a fornicator.
He was a fornicator. He was a whoremonger. You know, he dealt with whorish women, going out, sleeping with women, all kinds of different women. So what? That was cutting him. That was burning him. So for a lot of people, why they don't want to hear the word of the Lord, which is right, because it's cutting them, it's burning them, it's exposing their lifestyle and things and how they're living and what they're doing. So they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They don't want to hear the scriptures. Why? Because they don't want to repent. It's as simple as that. So let's go back to Isaiah 30 and 9.
Alrighty. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 9 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit.
Prophesy deceit, meaning what? Teach us lies. And that's what for most people, and they love to have it so, they're being taught lies. You've been taught about Easter. You're not being taught that, you know, Easter is pagan. That little bunnies don't lay eggs. Chicken lay eggs. But this is the things you got your children believing, and our people love to have it so. So we're gonna begin to wrap this thing up. But I want you to go. We're gonna go to a few scriptures that showing the reason why Christ came, and you know there's hope for our people. There's hope for those that turn to Christ in spirit and in truth, and repent. Okay. repent. You're not supposed to be in church on Easter Sunday, sunrise service. That's the worship of other gods. And most people are like, how is that the word? Isn't it we celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are we remembering Christ as, you know, death and resurrection? First and foremost, Christ told you how to remember him. Let's get that in 1 Corinthians 11:23. And it wasn't to remember him with an Easter egg hunt. It wasn't to remember him with an Easter Sunday dinner. That was none of that. Easter service, no. He told us specifically and gave us a ritual and a right to do that we would do it in remembrance of him that would signify what he did. So all these things that people are doing, that ain't got nothing to do with Christ, man. Doing on Easter, the Easter egg roll down the hill. That's madness. That's paganism, which is a code word for Satanism.
Jesus.
Yep, that's what it's going to be. And they're going to have fried chicken and candy yams and the macaroni and cheese for Easter Sunday. That's what most people are looking for. They're looking for the food. You need to read that scripture where Christ fed the thousands, and then the people came back. It's like, look, you ain't come back to hear. You just came back to eat, man.
Uh-huh. So, here we go. 1 Corinthians 11. And I am going to start at verse 23. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And here's verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You want me to continue on? I'll keep reading. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
So when you do that rite and that ritual that Christ gave to us to remember him by, you're supposed to examine yourself and repent. And you know what? A lot of people, they're gonna drink the wine or grape juice, and they're going to have the wafer cracker, but there's not going to be any examination. And so when they do that rite and ritual, they're bringing damnation upon themselves. A lot of people are going to do that on Easter Sunday. Uh-huh. Not knowing that they're bringing damnation on themselves, because they're not going to repent. They're not going to examine themselves. They're not going to consider. They're not even going to look like, what's going on in my life? Why am I going through these things? God, show me, help me. What's going on? No, you're going to go there, be taught some foolishness by the pastor, and come out and live life as usual. There's not going to be any change. It's like, how you know that? Because I was in the church. We were in the church.
Uh-huh. Grew up.
You come from the church.
Born and raised.
You come from the church. So like you don't know. Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, they used to do this. Now my grandmother's church, they used to do. Then this is basically what church is called, communion. And they normally would do communion like the first Sunday of the month. But the other church I grew up in, we used to do communion every Sunday. But that's what that symbolizes. This is that ritual. This is where they get it from. You ain't there just eating, drinking grape juice and eating eating matzos or the wafer or whatever.
Mm. So there's supposed to be an examination going back to the doctrine of Christ, which is the age-old doctrine from the beginning that the prophets taught was repentance. So let's go to the book of James, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse.
James chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
So, Abijah, real quick,
mm-hmm.
when you wash your hands, what you wash your hands with?
You need some soap and some water.
Dirt, doo-doo. What you wash your hands with? You need
soap
some
and
water, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is real quick. This is Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So many people are like, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and that's the name of the
I've
Father,
been delivered.
The name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I've delivered.
I've been delivered.
No,
you're
not.
I don't know.
You get washed. How you get washed is by the word. And how that happens is that you repent, you confess, and you forsake your sins. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. So that's the grace. People, I got grace. I got grace. I got grace. I got grace. You're not going to have any grace if you're an adulterer and you keep committing adultery. The adulterous woman had grace when she repented. That's when the grace
mm-hmm.
came. Christ said, go your way and sin no more. Don't be an adulterer no more. Don't be a whore no more. Don't be a fornicator no more. Don't be a murderer no more. Don't be a liar no more. Don't serve other gods anymore like people are going to do on Easter Sunday. That's the worship of other gods. The Easter egg hunt, the rolling the egg, those are all rituals to a pagan god. God, Christ didn't say do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, drink this wine. Eat this bread. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of my death. But let a man examine himself when he's doing this. What is that examining himself? Am I doing the word of God? Am I keeping God's commandments? Am I walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and following his example that he set? Because Christ left us an example that we should do no sin. We should not be an adulterer. We should not be a fornicator. We should not be a liar, a thief, or a murderer, or a drug dealer, or beating women, or committing
mm-hmm.
adultery. That's not the example that he set for us. The example that he set, he was a man that followed God and he did no sin. So I'm like, we got grace. So
uh-huh.
read from that. Then let's go to 1 John. 1 John, the first chapter, 9th verse, and we're going to wrap it up, bro. We're going to wrap it up. And I'm not talking about put on a condom. We're coming to the end of the show.
Hilarious. All righty. 1 John 1. What did... oh, Lordy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And it reads, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us
mm-hmm.
from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm. If we confess our sins, if, it's an if, because some people, they're not going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it for the vine, and they ain't going to do it for Jesus.
Uh-uh-uh.
If
Jesus is the vine.
If we confess our sins, would you say?
Yeah, I said Jesus, he is the true vine. Yeah, I'm the vine.
That's
what
it.
You talking about? Ain't no 6-second video
I'm
clip.
I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Woo! Mm-mm-mm. Many people, yeah, if you confess, if you are a woman and you done with a whole bunch of men, if you confess, yes, Lord, I am a whore. I don't want to be a whore no more. If you're a man, you're dealing with all kinds of women, and you have to confess, yes, Lord, I'm a player. I don't want to be a player anymore. I want to be a man of the Lord married to one woman. you know, one wife. You have to confess. You have to confess with your lips down on your knees and say, Lord, this is me. This is what I've done. And I know, according to thy word, that it was wrong. And I'm ready. I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to keep your commandments. I'm ready to love my neighbor as I love myself. I'm ready to serve the Lord thy God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my might. Because some people, they give God 2%, 1%. I'm a Christian. You Christian 1% of the time. And that's when you're in trouble. If we confess, he's going to be faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you have to acknowledge first. There has to be an acknowledgement of sin. Otherwise, you will never progress. You will never prosper in your life. Okay? You will still continue to be in bad relationships. You will still continue to be in debt spiritually and physically. You still have all kinds of problems with your family, your relationship, your children. Why? Because you don't want to confess. But Christ said if you confess, that's when the healing is going to begin. That is where the restoration is going to begin. And this is the true repentance, not this Easter fake repentance that they perpetrate in the church to collect. So you got something in closing, Abadja?
No, not really. It's just that, you know, like the scriptures say, we confess before the Heavenly Father in Christ. We're not confessing in a booth to no man. You know, the preacher and the pastor and the bishop, those individuals are there as guides.
Yes.
That's what they're supposed to do. They are there as guides. We all worship the Heavenly Father in Christ.
To guide you to Christ.
Exactly.
Not to make an investment in their flights. So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Another showdown for kings and priests. You have any questions, you can contact us on bodyofchrist@ureach.com. That is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Send us an email. We'll get back to you, and we answer any question you have on it as far as Easter or any other topic that you want to discuss as far as the scriptures, you know, and dealing with the Bible. And so a lot of people, they need help. A lot of people are beginning to find out that a lot of things that they've been taught by wicked, evil men is incorrect, like tithing. People finding out that that's incorrect, and a lot of people making U-turns on that. So a lot of people are coming out of the darkness into the light, and for a lot of people, they need support, because for them to really, truly follow Christ, it's going to be like in old times when Christ walked and the disciples walked. The church leaders are going to rise up against you. That's why Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. He's like, I don't care about your position in the church. I don't care if you're an elder in the church. God trumps you. That's your boss. So he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And they took a beating for that. So some people, they need support. You know, they may lose what they call their church home, and they need support, or people are going to have problems in their family just because they will not keep a pagan festival.
Been there, done that.
Hey. So giving all praises to the Most High in Christ. Join us next week, or you can join us tomorrow. We have, you know, the virtual living room. We're going over different topics and, you know, current events and stuff and seeing how it matches up with the scriptures. We do classes and show 7 days a week, so you don't have to go a day without that spiritual meat, without that spiritual bread. So giving all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ. Until next time, we say shalom. Take us out, Abadja.
Oh, man. Bear with me a second. Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.